accept the limits of normal, and in spite of his deep respect for that ultimate knowledge and ultimate quality, the joystick keeps sustained for years, having the feeling that Jim belongs to Fatima is the proceeder. This economy budget of his is spelled out in red capitals. So I'm sure it was a pretty difficult session for everybody concerned, especially when we're talking about what is it, 800 more bases that are out of the road, and the number of those that might have to be taken out for primary reasons, some of which will necessarily be in sensitive spots close to my heart. Dr. Walter Helen, panelist, and Climate Gordon, director of the Bureau of the Budget, were in and out, putting in their bit during the morning. It was a late lunch, and a departure. And then, we began our storm. Put a few more of Mrs. Tom Moore, which marked something of an ending to certain days in Austin. Because if it was only anybody who loved to learn, who could, who laid a tale? It was Tom Moore, who died a couple of years ago, rather perpetuatedly. And this was a passing of his mother and a final goodbye prior to those days. Then led him over to a stage showing of a TV film that stopped the following consumption. To hear it was good. I wish it was been there and had to be some of the places. Jerry gathered me up, we rushed across Brazos, we stood on the corner, we jumped in the car just like clockwork, and we drove off to the dedication of the Buddhist Akira synagogue, which is Jim Novi's brainchild and dear love. It was a dedication that Linda was going to attend, very shortly after, I think maybe a week after, the 22nd, which actually not happening was postponed. So there we were for it, and it's a night I'll always remember with great affection. The home was full of the Jews that we've known all our life and most of our constituents for more than 25 years. A great many of them were good friends, and a representative speaking with the other folks of Austin. Jim Novi made the introduction. It was, well, the English language, eight seldom heard nothing like it. But that's eight in the whole introduction. He said, I think it was back in 1938 that I first met this young congressman. And he said, we can't ever thank him enough for all those Jews he got out of Germany during the days of Hitler. And then he said, Linda, right down there in front of you. And I looked down there, and there were about six little boys ranging from 4 years to 12 years. And he says, there's the third generation, and they'll be working for you and helping you. And then he went over to describe how simple men feel about somebody who's given his life to public service. I couldn't help remembering Jim himself came over here as a Jewish immigrant at the age of some 8 or so years, and went into the junk business when he's about 12 or 14, and he's lost quite a bit of money, and he's spent a lot of it back into the community that helped him and back into the whole Jewish movement. Linden himself was never better in his response. He began by saying he didn't feel just that way too, but he was glad that his first non-official speech after taking this office was in the place of worship in his hometown. It was a beautiful speech, the sort that has made these years of politics good. And in spite of my little affair with TV and my recognition that we couldn't have had the livelihood we've had in the main politics except for TV, it's this kind of politics that already light, and life will be less rich. Food takes less rich. When there are no more meetings like this, and it all takes place before the cameras. After the meeting was over, we left quickly, picked up the new congressman, Jake Piccolo's wife, and flew out home to a reasonably early dinner, a reasonably early bed. Two of the most memorable things about the day were the way, as we started out of the synagogue, person after person plucked at my sleeve and said, "I wouldn't be here today if it weren't for him. He helped me get out." And that both frightens you and makes you happy. And then there was the nice way around the fireplace after dinner that Lindbergh and Dr. Walter Heller got to talking. Now, Lindbergh was holding up her end of the conversation, which was all about economics and how to improve the conditions of the University of Texas and the economy of the whole state and our stature in the union. She upheld her end of the conversation real well, and I could see Dr. Walter Heller responding to her, not only with interest, but with respect.